I've been just amazed at what God is doing in our midst, and we're going to give a report of some of that later. But let me just get into the message. I really feel God has been downloading some stuff. We've been teaching on this. We call it the Lord's Prayer. How many of you heard that? The Christians, people who practice worship Jesus, they oftentimes use this prayer, and it's not that we're just to use this prayer as a rote. You know what I mean by it's memorized, which is okay, but I think it has to have more meaning than that. So I've been teaching and preaching on the Lord's Prayer, which is in the Bible a couple of times. And we've been looking at it in Matthew's gospel. And let's just, if you know the Lord's Prayer, say it together with me. And we just go through we go through it prayerfully. So just follow my lead and let's just say it with that sense of just doing it slowly. So let's all say this together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, you know that this was a very simple question that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, had. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want you to think of this now. Why would they even ask that question? Let me recommend something to you. Because they've seen him do it over and over again. It was his practice. So they would look to Jesus, who would continue to go to the Father, and he would spend time with the Father, and they would say, "Wow, man, you have an amazing connection with God." Now, what's interesting? I know some people are wondering, "Well, how does this work? We have Jesus, God, Son of God, and we have Father in heaven." Well, it's the way that it works. Now, we don't have time to discuss all that, but that's how it was. Jesus would actually come in a place of dependence, in a place where he would come and acknowledge his Father. He would recognize his sovereignty. Now remember, Jesus came on earth as a representation of man. So as a representation of man, he would acknowledge God, the Father. He would acknowledge and he would recognize where he was. So he calls us, invites us to this prayer with this sense that I am also in a relationship, really, on earth. He was in a relationship with God as dependent on God. Hear this out, guys. He was in a relationship. He submitted himself to be in a relationship with Father as one dependent on the Father. And needing the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Because he wanted to be our representative. He wanted to be our substitute in every way. He wanted us to look to him and say, this is how to live. I live in dependence of the Father. I live asking him for his will to be done in my life. So now what I'm going to teach you is, and so they would have asked this question, Lord, man, it's awesome to see you have this kind of relationship with God, the Father. Show us how it is. Show us how to pray like this. So he started by just those things we've already covered. He said, pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, a position of being in view of everything, position of greatness, position of, we'll say sovereignty, but it's a position that's different than our earthly realm, right? Where's our Father? Where's God, Jesus' Father? In heaven, he sees things differently than we see things. I talked about this already. Our earthly fathers, I hope you have had a good earthly father. Some people haven't. But our heavenly father is nothing like our earthly father. It'd be nice if you had a good father that you can connect to and say, okay, that's what my heavenly father. But your heavenly father is so much greater. Amen. And then it says, your kingdom come. Holy is your name. His name is holy. He's above all. He's beyond all. He's holy, other than anything we can imagine. He's pure. He's righteous. Holy is his name. Your kingdom come. So we've been asking, you know, we talk about that we want his realm, his rule to come. And this prayer is not only just for personal requests, which I think it has to be that way. I want God's kingdom to come here, right? Who wants God's kingdom to come in your heart? Because that's what I recognize that God can be my Lord and my King, let me tell you something. Everything else shifts. When you start to see your Father in heaven, this is important to go where we're going today. I'm giving you this background a little bit today because you need to say where we're going today is give us this day our daily bread. But if we don't see where our Father is, the posture he has, he is the Lord of heaven and earth. I want you to see this. He is the King over all things. You know, a king in those days, if you were in an economy where a king was, you know, in your government, it's prime minister or president or whatever, but in some countries, it's still kings. But if he was a real sovereign king who had authority, he had responsibility to take care of his subjects. How many know that was his responsibility? His king's responsibility, not that he would get rich, well, so was our government's responsibility, not that they get rich, and some corrupt governments are like that. I understand, right? But the idea is those who are given that place of authority and leadership are to take care of their people. Are you with me? Right? So if we get a sense of who we're talking to, our Father in heaven, we're asking for his kingdom to come. We're asking for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the desire. Let me tell you something. If you have your position and posture where you are a son and a daughter looking to God as king, you're looking to him as your provider. Are you with me? So that's so important that you recognize he is sovereign. He's in heaven. He owns the cattle, the Bible says in the one verse. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. The Lord says, you know, you think you can bring me something? I'm the creator. I'm the owner. What can you bring me? I'm the one who brings you everything. So this is so important to recognize when we come to this next phrase, and the phrase we're on today is very simply, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what's important about this phrase is sometimes we think, oh, well, what does he mean by that? Does that mean that, it does mean to give us our daily bread, which would mean our daily food. Okay? So this is definitely talking about that. I believe there's so much more to this, and I want to unpackage some of this, but I don't want you to miss this. When we talk about God, give us this day our daily bread, what we're really saying is, God, meet our every need. Meet my every need for the day. Now I want you to think about this. In that time, it was an agricultural society. You know that, right? Jesus came, and it was an agrarian. Is that a good word? Agrarian? Yeah, that's the word. Okay, so when people worked in that day, whatever they worked, guess what? Every day they got paid. Wouldn't that be cool if you got paid every day? That was the tradition. The tradition was that they would get their daily need, the daily bread would come daily. First, I want you to think of that. That's important. It's a little different today. However, they would come. So Jesus says, listen, what I want you to recognize is that I have the means and the ability to take care of your needs every day. And what's interesting is, When he says, give us this day our daily bread, what he's saying is, what we're saying to God is, God, you know And it, whether you say it or whether you acknowledge it, I hope we can acknowledge it at least. You might not say it every day. I hope we can at least acknowledge it every morning and perhaps every night, or at least sometime during the week, acknowledge the fact, God, every good gift comes from you. That we can acknowledge, Lord, there's needs in my life. Come on. And I want you to think of this. This here, when you talk about meeting our needs, he's talking about meeting our physical, spiritual, social, mental, emotional, all our needs. Now, I believe that this, in reference to this scripture, he is talking by and large about meeting our needs to live. Hey, God, meet my needs to live today. So I do believe the first and probably the foremost thing that he's talking about here is the material needs. Now, there are other needs that we need to live. Right? Some people have done studies on needs. How many, if you've done any psychology reading, you know, Maslow's hierarchy thing, you know, we have emotional needs, we have, you know, the need to, all, I'm not getting into that right now, but basically people who study human life tell you that there's basic needs, you know, and there's higher needs and lower needs. Well, let me tell you something. The need to eat, it sort of is on the lower end of things, right? If you look at the Maslow's hierarchy thing, if some of you study psychology, you know. So basically what he's saying, but here, I want you to get something. Jesus is interested in the lower things. Come on. Don't just think he's just interested in your spiritual life. How many know he's interested in the fact that you should have your daily bread every day? If you're these, now these are God's children. These are his followers. These are his disciples. Is he interested that they would have their bellies full? At least have something to eat? Now, you guys may not, we may not think, oh, well, you know, I just open my fridge door and I go get my milk and my bread, or I go to the store and I get whatever I need. It's so easy, you know. When you go to another country, now I haven't lived in India for 50 years. I said we talked about that today. It's been a long time. When I was a little boy, I lived there, but some of these dear friends have come recently. But you know, in places like India, maybe you've seen it, you know, you guys, some of you, but it's, there are many who are struggling to meet ends, make ends meet, right? There's poverty. We went to Africa a few years ago, and firsthand, we could see the need for these people to have at least one meal a day. So the place where we served in a ministry that was reaching out to these people, we had a tremendous opportunity. One of my favorite times, listen, to this minute, we did a lot of different kinds of things in ministry. One of my favorite times was at noontime when the villagers came and they fed hundreds of villagers one meal a day. It was just phenomenal. They would come, they would bring their little bowl, and this is not 10, this is not 50 years ago. This is just a few years ago. Still like that today. So there are people in the world that have that. So they could actually really cry out to God, right? And say, give us this day our daily bread. Basically, the meaning of that word really is give us what we need for today. I think the Lord is trying to teach us something here. That is that we need to recognize, we need to acknowledge that our needs are met through him. We may not live like those that I'm talking about. Now, you know, there are people who are in poverty here, right? We have ministries that try to help people with low income and people in the state that are in the, you know, I served in a ministry for 8 years. We served poor and the hurting and the broken people. We still get involved in ministries like that, right? So when the Lord is saying, this is important to hear this, when the Lord is saying, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven, I want you to get something else here. God is interested in meeting your need on a daily basis, But he's also interested, because that prayer is corporate, to meet the needs of others around you. Did you hear that? Give us this day. Did you notice the word is plural? Interesting, isn't it? It's not just give me this day my daily bread. Thank God he's interested in that. Are you with me? He's concerned about your needs. And he wants me to come to him as a father who cares about my needs. Come on. But there's a place where he sees the needs of the corporate community, and he sees the need of those around us. There's a place where when we ask God, our Father, hey, wouldn't it be good if maybe you do this? I hope you do. That when you pray, that you not only thank God for the bread that's on your table, even by thanking God for the bread on your table, for the food on your table, you're saying, God, it comes from you. Are you with me? This prayer doesn't have to be articulated exactly just the way, you know, but I'm acknowledging, God, this food comes from you. This provision comes from you. Wouldn't it be good? Now, I just know after doing this reading myself, I'm just saying, God, it's so easy for us to be ungrateful. Come on. Or take it for granted, at least. Isn't it true that we just think it's just coming? You know, you students, if you've got a student loan, or your papa and mama are paying for your studies or whatever, it's just so easy, right? It's like I'm doing, but hey, think about this, that really, there is a Father in heaven who wants to meet your needs. And he cares about us. So let's broaden this prayer. And what's neat about this is this, I'm just, you know, don't have notes and points, but you get what I'm saying here. So let's just carry on. So what I have here is I have this sense that when we recognize that our Father provides our needs and we're part of a larger community, that we're also to be an answer to this prayer. Do you follow what I'm getting at? You know, when we make these prayers, we ought to be the instrument through which God operates. When we're saying, give us this day our daily bread. You know, it's interesting when you start looking at the practice of the early followers of Jesus. The early followers of Jesus, they really knew what it was to have community life. How many of you know that? Anybody here read the book of Acts? Come on. Hey, when you read the book of Acts, the early followers of Jesus, not only, but you see it more obvious in there, that these people knew how to have communal life, community life. You know what that means? They knew how to fellowship. They really knew how to fellowship. Fellowship doesn't mean you sit around and have a coffee together. It may mean that. It means that you knew how to be a partner and partaker. Because when the early church, when these early believers got together, they cared for one another. The part of their practice was they didn't want anybody in need. How many of you know that was the way it was? They didn't want anybody in need. So if you had more means, what would you do? You would help somebody who's in need. This was just a practice. So already, they had come to know what this prayer means. Jesus had taught them, and they started to operate and live like that. So they're saying, God, provide our daily... Now, let me ask you this. When we ask God this prayer, when we ask for this prayer, we say, give us our daily bread, and we're thinking on a personal level. Does that mean that we just sit on our at home twiddling our thumbs and saying, God, provide my needs. Oh, God, I need food, provide my needs. Or does God say, you get up off your rear and go do something? Come on. What do you think? The Bible also says, listen, if you don't work, you don't eat. How many know that's a verse in the Bible? There is a place when the idea is that we have to do something about it. It's like, you know, so it's not just sitting there thinking, oh, well, God's going to take care of me, you know. It's like God says, you have a responsibility. Okay. Well, if it's the same personally, right, shouldn't it be the same corporately? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we have responsibility. It's different because what responsibility, that means that if there's something, if there's means that I have, right, I have a responsibility to share my means with somebody else. And what's interesting about that is if you're really, really praying this way, if you're asking, Father in heaven, give us this day. Give us this day. I'm talking the family of God. And I want you to hear this now. I think it's important to recognize that in the Bible, God does say that the family of God ought to be a priority. Oh, some people won't like this, but I'm going to tell you something. You better read your Bible. Because the church, which I'm talking, when I say the family of God, I'm talking those who are following Jesus. Okay, and now does that mean that we don't care for the world? No, no, no. Listen, all the way through, you'll find that there's merit in Scripture to talk about this. Now, so the early church did this, right? They started to have life together so that nobody was in need, right? You saw that in the book of Acts. Read Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4. Now, I want you to read this passage in Galatians 6. So if you want to turn to your Bibles in Galatians 6, I want you to see that. So first and foremost, it's important that I care for my brothers and sisters. Okay, this is important. So listen to this, Galatians chapter 6. And in this passage, he's talking about several type of needs that are being addressed. You know, he's actually, in Galatians 6, he's talking about spiritual concern that we have for each other. Galatians 6, verse 1. Let's just read this for a second. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, right? But watch yourself, or you too will be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Stop for a minute. Just stop for a minute. Listen. First way you carry each other's burden is taking care of somebody spiritually. Are you with me? That if somebody's struggling, come alongside them, encourage them, lift them up, so they're not struggling in their sin, right? Number one. Now I want you to follow this. We're gonna read on because you also see the physical needs here. Okay. Then he says, carry each other's burdens. So if we carry each other's burdens, what are we doing? Fulfilling the law of Christ. That's how he lived. Sacrificially giving of himself, right? Now I want you to see now a couple of verses there that may not apply directly, but I'm going to read them anyways for the sake of context. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself with somebody else. For each man should carry his own load. There is a place where each person has responsibility for themselves, right? You follow me? Don't get caught up in this because I'm going to the next couple of verses. It says, anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with the instructor. You know what that word is? Give financially. That's what it means. Partner. If you are in a context of receiving something in the way of teaching or, you know, context, then share with that person. That's what it says. That's what that word means. Share all good things with your instructor. Now look, it's not finished yet. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. The man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Listen, don't get tired in doing good. Don't get tired of giving yourself out. Don't get tired of doing good, because in due season, in a proper time, you will reap a harvest. If you do not give up. The next part. This is the part that's important. Listen. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. How many people? Okay, but the next part says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Did you see that? So don't think you don't have an obligation. Some people say, oh, well, they'll take care of themselves. I'm just looking out for those that are in another part of the world. Or look, listen, it's important to take. Okay, how many of you belong to a family? Anybody here? Most of us have some realm of it. Let me ask you, if you knew that your family was struggling and in need, would you help them first? Hey, isn't that true? Is it any different then for God's people to consider the needs of a family first? It's important. Consider it. This is the word of God. Yeah. 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 There's scriptures that talk about that. Yeah. So it's important to recognize that now what's amazing is you're actually doing something amazing when you give of yourself. You know, Jesus gave this story in Matthew 25. How many know the story of the sheep and the goats? Right? Okay, the story in Matthew 25 goes like this. Jesus is looking at the people and he's saying, and listen, he's going to commend people for doing something that was done well, and he's going to rebuke people who didn't. Right? And the story goes like this. You know, and when he commends them, these people are coming, and the people who were considered to be like sheep, you know, he said, you know, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was hungry, you fed me. I was clothes, without clothes, you clothed me. Come on, this is practical. It's important. Is Jesus interested in the practical? Come on, he's interested in every part of your life. Is he interested? Okay, let's take it even further. Is he, students here? Yeah, a few students. Is he interested in your studies? Practical. That's what we're on today. He's interested in your daily needs. He cares about you practically where you're at. He knows that you're concerned. He knows you're worried. And this is the key here. The key is very important that, hey, this is what he wants us to get here. He wants us to get this understanding that if he's our Father in heaven, I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to sweat. I don't need to worry because there's someone greater that's able to take care of my needs. So you know, we've already maybe referred to this earlier in the scripture, but I want to go to this right now because Matthew 6, once again, let's go to that chapter because this is how we're to view the needs that we have. Now, where's the Lord's Prayer found that we've been going through? Matthew 6. Okay. Everything about Matthew 6 is important. Okay, it's great. But in that last part of this chapter, in Matthew 6, he's talking about the same thing. He says, listen, when you come to the Father in heaven, you don't need to be concerned about your physical needs because your Father in heaven knows your needs. Just get a handle on the idea he's your good daddy. He's a good dad. So look what it says here in verse 25. This is really cool. It says, therefore, Matthew 6, 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Okay, it's right up there. You guys got it? Matthew 6, 25. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and more and body more important than clothes? And then he says, look at the birds of the air. You know the story. Jesus is saying, look at the birds of the air. They do not have to sow or reap or store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes or see how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, it is here today and gone and thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And he says, oh, you of little faith. Hey, if your dad in heaven can put that beautiful scenery in front of you, I look at those birds that come around our house because we have property in the some of you have birds coming to your house, and it's amazing that, you know, it's like they're taken care of. I don't know how, but you know, they just get taken care of and they're around. And God's providing for their needs. And he says, you know, your Father in heaven, if he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the flowers, how much more will he not take care of you? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or drink? Or where? Just come. I'm going to just break here. Come and talk to your papa. Come and see your papa. Come and see your dad in heaven. There's all kinds of scriptures. David says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God, you're faithful. Now, here's the thing. What does that mean? That means he'll, you know, the thing is that God doesn't say, I'm going to make you wealthy here. That's not the passage. Are you with me? This passage, this prayer is not God making you wealthy. He's saying, give us this day our, this moment in time. Provide my need, Lord. Take this anxiety away from me because this is not how I'm to live. You're going to, what he's saying is my imminent need. What he's saying is, God, this is my imminent need now. Now, I want you to get this. This is not just to do with bread. Are you with me? How many have had bills that are imminent? Come on. How many got expenses that are imminent? Are you with me? Come on, is he your daddy in heaven? He says here, oh, you of little faith. He says the pagans, which really refers to non-believers, for the unbelievers run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you, come on, need them. What's he say? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about. Worry about not to worry about. What he's saying is don't worry about the future, but think about today because each day has its own trouble. Now, I believe what he's saying is current need. Follow me here. Your current need. Your daily bread is your current need. Now, I'm going to go to one other passage. You know this well. Philippians chapter 4. Some of you know the verse. You're going to quote probably Philippians 4 about being anxious and not being right on. You got it already. That's awesome. Because this is really cool because it's all connected, you see. It's all connected when you see, if we see it from perspective, that Dad cares about my needs. He cares about my finances. He cares about my studies. He cares about my career. He cares about my life. He cares about this part of your life. That's awesome. He cares about me spiritually and emotionally and physically. Now listen, this is Philippians, what did I say? Chapter 4, thank you. Verse 6, oh, you got it, girl. Awesome. It's a good one to memorize, isn't it? Good one to put into your memory. This helps when you're struggling with anxiety or worry or fear. It says here in verse 6, listen, do not be anxious about anything. I'm going to ask you the next question. In everything, by prayer, how many things do you go to God with? Say it again. Say it again. You know, I want you to realize something here. Sometimes we think, oh, my thing, is too little. Okay, my concern is too little. How many feel that way some days? God handled the big stuff. Come on, you know that. So let me tell you something. If you don't go with your little thing, you're also going to suffer the consequences, which is fear and anxiety. What he's saying is don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. So here's the other reason, guys. Your concern, as little as it might seem in terms of others' needs, is like it's so insignificant. Why would you go to God with that? You know why? Because it shows your dependence on God as well. Take it from that perspective. That you're also looking to him. I'm going to ask you, is God big enough to take care of the world? There's consequences and reasons. I don't attempt to try to figure out the ways of God and the way things are administered, the way that, you know, way he, you know, deals with life. But I'll tell you one thing. When I stand before him, I am the one that's going to be given an answer. He's not going to have to answer me. He'll give you the answer. You know what I'm saying? Like that, what I'm saying is I won't have to come and say, why didn't you do this? There'll be a reason for all of it. Understand that? I don't have a picture of that yet, but there'll be a reason. That makes sense? So, but there is something about my prayer. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Father, meet the needs of my needs, meet the needs of my family, meet the needs of the people around me. And then there's that practical aspect, because you see, God wants you and I to be a part of the solution. This is not a complicated message, but I want you to know something. God is interested in everything. In every detail of my life, he's interested. There's nothing too small that he's not interested in. He cares about you. So when we talk about needs, let's not, you know, I've seen God come through. How many of you come to me or come to other people and say, I have a need, can you pray for me? Okay, you know that. We do it all the time. I'm just saying, don't ever stop. Because it is a place of acknowledging dependence. It's a place of acknowledging that he's able. It's a place of acknowledging that God, you care. I submit to you. Now, God's not in the microwave business. How many know that? You know, in a microwave, you know, you put it in, instant. Yeah. But I'll tell you something. God knows our needs. You know, I'm going to close in prayer now. So we all have various needs are before us today. So as you come to God today, think of your needs. How many have financial needs? Come on, if you have financial needs, put up your hand. I'm just going to pray here now. Okay, how many have need for maybe some friendship or companionship? Come on, let's be honest. Anybody here have need for relationship, companionship? Come on. That's a need, guys. Hey, are you with me? How many need transportation? Sometimes. How many need a job? Need a career? Come on. I don't know what your need is, but what's your daily need today? Come on, let's just ask God. Let's acknowledge him today to meet our needs. Amen. As we acknowledge him to meet our needs, let's also ask him to make us aware of the needs of others around me. Come on. So, Lord, I'm just coming to you right now for this prayer. Father in heaven, give this day your daily bread. Give this day to your children what they need, Father. So this, you know, I just believe God wants to give us our daily need, but I also believe he wants to fill our cups to overflowing. How many of you believe that? So I pray that you would give us so we have our needs met, and that you'd give us so we can bless other people. So our cups would overflow, so it wouldn't just be our needs. I pray for release of the kingdom of God over you, over your life, over your finances, over your personal relationships, over any other need, physical needs that are in your life right now. We just call the life of God. I'm going to ask you, would Jesus ask the disciples, his followers, to pray this prayer without having the means to answer it? He knew the Father in heaven was going to answer the prayer. So he said, pray this way. The reason we're to pray this way is to recognize that we can't meet our needs on our own. And, you know, through our own human ability. That doesn't mean we don't work. It just means that we got to acknowledge our trust in him. So, Lord, let it be. We recognize you as the provider. You as our Heavenly Father. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 8. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Isn't that a great verse? Come on, he already's given you his very best. He's given you his son. Now, how will he not along with him freely give you all things? I pray for a release of those things that are maybe causing anxiety, causing fear, causing concern, that we surrender them to you today, Lord, and you'd meet our needs. I see jobs coming for people that are really asking. You know, we've had people in our church that have been in need like that, and God's brought them favor. Amen. I pray for God's favor on you that are looking for work right now. Some of you are looking for income, some kind of employment, some kind of income. I'm praying for a release of that in Jesus' name. I'm praying for you students right now that God would give you the ability to grasp what you're studying, to be able to put it back to in the test, in your exams, in Jesus' name. God give you peace where you feel worry and concern, you know, that you wouldn't take on too much. In Jesus' name. Amen.